the words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 28, verses from 23 to 28. It's page 238 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God and from the law of Moses and from the prophets, had tried to persuade them about Jesus. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made his final statement. The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah the prophet, "Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For these people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts in turn, and I would heal them. Therefore I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen." Amen. Paul in today's scripture is at a shabby barn in a suburban area of Rome. For he was not free as an unconvicted prisoner who appealed to the emperor. Paul's hand was chained with that of a Roman soldier who was keeping him. Even though Paul was old and suffering from chronic illness, the unfavorable condition he was put under did not matter, because he wanted to end his life as God's preparatus and martyrs. The day broke when Paul was supposed to meet with Jewish elders in Rome. A number of Jews, including the Jewish elders, came early in the morning to Paul's shabby barn. Paul testified the kingdom of God to them and spoke in detail about the fact that the Messiah prophesied and promised in the Old Testament was Jesus of Nazareth. Paul's preach went on all day long from early morning till the sun went down. Paul was the greatest disciple and dialectician in 2,000 years' history of Christianity. However, it was not the case that all those who were there and listened to Paul in the shabby barn located in a suburban Rome believed and received Jesus. According to verse 24 of today's scripture, some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. In the same place, the same Paul preached the same gospel, and some believed while others rejected. How so? In regard to this topic, we have deeply thought about it last time. Today, we would like to focus on the consequence later on. Let us look at verse 25. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah the prophet. We'll look at the second half of verse 25, which is a quote of Isaiah the prophet, next time. Today, we pay attention to the first half, and it stresses an important fact. People tend not to use meaningless words and expressions, neither for official reports nor personal writings, much less for the Bible, the words of God. Every word and expression put in the Bible has an absolute meaning. Based only on the testimony of the verse 24, saying some were convinced by what is said, but others would not believe, we can fully understand the consequence of the day. The testimony did not end there. The first half of verse 25 emphasizes that those who believe and others who don't disagree among themselves. A Greek adjective, asymphonos, translated to disagree, means does not match or not identical. Those who appeared in the scripture were all Jews living in Rome. Needless to say, their religion was Judaism. Most of them were poor and underprivileged laborers, and they came to Paul because they were curious about the gospel that Paul believed in. It wasn't until early in the morning when they came to the shabby barn of Paul that they agreed among themselves in many ways. However, when the sun set and the preach of Paul had ended, those who were convinced by what Paul said and those who were not disagreed. They did not match anymore, and they became separate one another. This does not only mean that they were scattered in all directions from the shabby barn for their own home. The Greek verse, apolluo, translated to be scattered, means to depart and send, and is also used to mean that a couple is divorced and separate each other. As the agreement between those who were convinced and others who did not believe is broken, they became separate among themselves. They were all together when coming to Paul's shabby barn early in the morning, but went separate on their way back home in the evening. The reason why today's scripture stresses out that those who are convinced and others who did not disagreed is that it is the very characteristic of faith. The following is what the Apostle Paul testified. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed our message?" Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. We can't tell with translated version of the Bible, but the Greek original for this phrase uses two different verbs in contrast to mean listen. The Greek word akouo means to hear, while the verb huipakouo, a combination of huipo, meaning below, and akou was used to mean that a servant listens carefully to his master. A servant cannot just hear what his master says. He or she needs to act on what master said. That's why whipakuo is translated to heed, a word requiring to act. When quoting Isaiah 53 first, who has believed our message? Paul pointed out that the Israelites who called themselves as the chosen people of God did not whipakuo the gospel of God. They said they believed in God, but did not put the word of God they listened into practice. This was translated in our Bible. They have not all obeyed the good news. As such, to Paul, faith was to heed. To heed is not words. It is to act. To Paul, it was nonsense to believe in God without putting the word into practice. To make it possible, you should first know the gospel. Without understanding the good news, it is not possible to obey and act on the gospel. So Paul said, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. A Greek word, akoue, translated to hear, is a noun of akoo. This implies that you should hear the gospel, the word of God, first, and then you can have faith of obedience with which you can akoo on the gospel. Many Christians misunderstand this phrase of Romans that faith only needs to hear the word of God. That is never what Paul said. Paul said, faith is to whipakuo the gospel, and you should first akuo the word of God to make it possible. So to speak, faith executes the word of God throughout your life, and that is possible by first hearing what God says. As such, words are different to mean hear and act on what was heard, as akuo and whipakuo respectively in Greek. But the word hear includes both. The word listen is used both ways to mean hear with your ears and to act on what was said. An expression that student listens to the word of the teacher does not mean that his hearing capability is good, but he listens to the teacher and put it into practice. Therefore, faith is to listen to the word of God through life, and it begins from hearing the word of God with the ears. You should never skip the fact that Paul quoted Isaiah chapter 53 verse 1, who has believed our message, for his testimony. A number of prophets of the Old Testament spread the gospel. All Israelites heard with their ears to the words that they preached. But the hearing with their ears was not led them to listen to the gospel throughout their life, which means that not all the Israelites heard the word of God with their ears, did not actually believe the word of God. Faith starts from hearing the gospel for sure. But it is not always true that the hearing with ears is connected to the listening of life. The Israelites heard the gospel that the Jesus of Nazareth is Christ, but they rather killed Jesus on the cross. They denied what they heard with their ears through their life. Then how come those who listen to the word of God and act on it, and others who reject the word of God through their lives, go in harmony? This is what happened in Caesarea Philippi at around the time when Jesus finished his public life for 3 years. Jesus made sure that he was the Messiah, the Holy God, and he mentioned something significant. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, then Jesus said to the disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." To follow Jesus Christ, you need to deny yourself first of all. People gathered in large numbers wherever Jesus went. But those people did not all hear with their ears what Jesus said, and they all did not come to Jesus to listen to his words through their lives. The crowd that came to Jesus were those who wished to fill their empty stomach, to treat incurable illness, or to solve complex problems of their lives. In short, they came to Jesus to accomplish their wish or hope, as the purpose was for themselves. They had no reason to hear with their ears or listen to his words through their lives. Jesus was no better than a magic wand for them to fulfill their purpose. However, if you believe Jesus as Christ, the Holy God who came down to this earth, then it should definitely begin with denying yourself. To believe in God, the Logos, is to hear and listen to the word of God with your ears and through your life. To listen to the word of God also through your life, you have to first deny yourself, who's lived as a slave to desires. Even if you be still hungry, still painful with physical illness, there still is no sign that the problem goes away. You must deny yourself, wishing to live on desires. That is faith. Even if your safe is filled with money, you have all kinds of delicacies every day and can't live better than this, your physical body will vanish as the time comes. There's no exception. But denying yourself to listen to the Word of God through your life is the way you live forever in the Lord. Therefore, those who keep on living as a slave to desires, even after hearing the Word of God with ears, and others who deny themselves to listen to God's words through their lives, do not fundamentally match together. The Jews in Rome gathered in flocks early in the morning to the shabby barn where Paul stayed. They heard the gospel that Paul preached all day long. However, when he finished preaching after sunset, there were those who were convinced by what Paul said and others who would not believe. People were divided into two groups, one who tried to listen through their lives based on what they heard with their ears, the other who tried to deny the gospel through their lives even after hearing it with their ears. In other words, there were distinctive between those who wanted to deny themselves to listen to the gospel through their lives and others who insisted to keep on the slavery to desires even after hearing the gospel. They could no longer match together. And it wasn't strange at all because faith means distinction. In the Old Testament, the Greek verb kadosh, to mean being holy, originally meant to distinguish. Faith is to distinguish yourself from the past life as a slave to desires. Faith is to distinguish yourself from the world, which was the purpose of your life. Faith is to distinguish yourself from those who serve themselves as an idol. Such distinction is only possible when you deny yourself to listen to the word of God you heard with your ears, also through your life. Such distinction is the holiness of Christians. The power of Christians does not come from the number of the salary or the height of social position, but it comes from the holiness with which you can distinguish yourself from the world. The more you try to distinguish yourself from the world to listen to what you heard with ears, also through life, the more holy Christians become. Christians who are distinguished from the world do not become outsiders, but resuscitate the world with the holiness distinctive from the world. That is the very paradox of faith and holiness which Christians pursue. Therefore, it was truly natural that those who deny themselves to listen to what they heard from Paul with their ears, also through their lives, became distinctive from the others who kept on living under the slavery to desires, rejecting the gospel through their lives, although they heard it with their ears. Such a distinctive and holy faith lasted on and on, transcending time and space, ended up resuscitating the Roman Empire 300 years later from the time of today's scripture. The Roman Empire was not revived by force. The armed force only resulted in the empire filled with the blood of dirty desires and sins. It was the holiness of Christians who separate themselves from the world, denying themselves to listen to what they heard with ears, also through their lives. It was the consequence that the Lord worked through their holiness. I had once been invited by senior pianist Yoon Mi-kyung to the dinner at her home, where she played the piano and gave a lecture. The lecture was a comparison between the training for pianists and that for Christians' faith. It was so touching that I would like to introduce part of it under the permission of Miss Yoon. 10 fingers have all different level of strength. The thumb is strong while the little finger is weak. The middle finger is stronger than the little, but weaker than the thumb, when the ring finger is weaker than that. If you are to play the piano with those 10 fingers with all different strength, a tremendous amount of training is required. You should strike the balance between relaxation and strengthening and train hard with all kinds of method to give balance strength to the 10 different fingers. This way, you would make a progress step by step. You can never do it as you wish. You should follow the given rhythm and notes and continuously train your finger. This rule also goes to faith. As pianists train their fingers so the 10 fingers get balanced strength, believers should also train themselves with overcoming bad temper, unnecessary strength, arrogance, short temper, laziness, weakness, and extravagance, and so on. As is the case when sometimes a pianist got out of tune because the train was not enough. Believers from time to time become short-tempered because the train was not enough and fail to become humble. As the old saying goes, a no good person is acting up. Your arrogant mindset could make you lazy on training and consequently ruin the outcome of the play or faith. Each and every part of the lecture touched me so hard. From the viewpoint of fingers, the train is a self-denier. The thumb is supposed to be the strongest. The self-denier of the thumb is not to boast its own power, but relax so that it could fit the piano play. The weakest finger, the little finger, should also deny itself by overcoming the weakness and make it stronger. As such, all of 10 fingers must try everything to deny themselves by sometimes relaxing and sometimes give more strength so as to have balanced strength throughout all 10 fingers. This does not mean that you can do it as you wish. The standard of self-denier is always the score. through the training, the 10 fingers would definitely be distinguished from those who are not related with such a training. For a pianist, those trained and distinctive fingers are holy enough to play the piano well. Such a performance with those distinctive and holy fingers must touch the heart of the audience. On the contrary, the performance of those whose fingers are not trained enough with self-denial would never touch the heart of people. It would become noise annoying the audience. This goes exactly to the self-denial of Christians. People use their fingers to point themselves out in most cases. When only one finger is needed, no one would point themselves out with the second or middle fingers, let alone the little finger. They use the thumb to point themselves, which means they consider themselves the same as the thumb, which is the strongest among 10 fingers. For Christians to deny themselves to listen to what they heard with ears also through their lives is to deny the thumb. Those who try to become the owner of their life is to deny their desires, selfishness, and pride. They should also deny the little finger at the same time. You need to strengthen the mind of humility, sacrifice, devotion, generosity, patience, care, self-control, and love. It is needless to say that God will resuscitate this world through the life of such people. Faith begins by hearing the word of God with the ears. It, of course, includes seeing with the eyes. Without hearing the gospel with ears, it is impossible to listen to the words through life. Then how much are we hearing the word of God with ears? Is it not all that you hear once a week for an hour or so attending Sunday worship? That way, how come can we listen to the word of God through all our life in this troubled world and live a distinctive life? Isaiah the prophet tells us an important fact. In chapter 50, verse 4, "The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, awakens my ear to listen like one being instructed." God wants to talk to our ears every morning. We all should pay attention and listen to those words every morning through the Bible. Let us listen to what was said by God also through our lives every day at places of our life. Let us deny ourselves every day so as to listen to the gospel also through our lives. Let us boldly deny the mindset of the thumb, wishing to hire ourselves, and the attitude of the little finger, hoping to avoid. The more we try to deny ourselves to listen to the word of God we heard with ears, also through the life, the more we become distinctive from others in the world. Let us not be afraid of such distinction. That does not mean isolation or abandonment. The holiness where you distinguish yourself to listen to the word of God that you heard with ears also through the life is the very source to resuscitate the world. Now, I would like to ask you a question. If our life failed to revive this world, even a little, despite the hard work we do every day from early morning till late at night, and it rather worsens the confusion of the world, what would be the reason? Either because we just habitually hear the word of God, or we're only superficial and denying ourselves as we wish. That way, it does not tell Christians from the world. That would be rather the shortcut where Christians can be isolated and bullied. As pianists train themselves hard, denying their own fingers with all different methods, let us deny ourselves until we beat ourselves and become obedient so as to listen to the word of God that we heard with ears also through our lives. Let us not be afraid of making dissonance with the world. Let us distinguish ourselves from the world to listen to the gospel that we heard with ears also through the life. Then our life distinguished from the world would resuscitate this world from chaos with your love and life. No matter how small we are, just like the way the old and sick Paul did 2,000 years ago, our life would become the performance played by God. Let us pray. Lord, we've been focused on the world, saying that we believe in God. We've been nervous all the time in fear of lagging behind from the standard of the world, and thinking how effectively we can follow the word, and in what way we could become the loved leader. We just heard the word of God only with our ears. We failed to even think about listening to the world, to the gospel, through our life. Consequently, our life has only aggravating the confusion that the world is put under, instead of resuscitating it. We repent our ignorance and foolishness before you today, and forgive us. Help us listen to the word of God that we heard with ears now also through our life, at work, and home every day. Give us courage to deny ourselves to listen to what was said by God. We heard with our ears also through the life, so that we become not afraid of getting distinguished from others in the world. May we be grateful for the holiness accomplished in the Lord, not from isolation or abandonment, and help us and our life become beautiful players for the Lord, who can resuscitate the world with your love and life. Even though we are still suffering from poverty, physical illness, and unsolved problems, we pray in the Lord of Amen.